Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Ghosted, An American Story is a memoir by Nancy French, a New York Times bestselling ghostwriter known for work with prominent conservative figures. The book uses her own life to examine a path that moves from Appalachian poverty and family trauma to political proximity, religious communities, and public controversy. Rather than presenting a simple rise narrative, it shows how abuse, class insecurity, faith, and ideological loyalty shaped her identity over time. French also reflects on the strange contradiction of being a professional ghostwriter who spent years helping others tell polished public stories while her own story remained hidden. The memoir is therefore both personal and political. It traces childhood harm and adult resilience. But it also documents disillusionment with the Republican Party during the Trump era and the social cost of dissent within conservative circles. Its purpose is to connect private suffering to broader cultural pressures without reducing either one to slogans. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, from Appalachian deprivation to a life shaped by instability, a major thread in the memoir is French's early life in the foothills of Appalachia, where poverty, violence, abuse, and family instability formed the background of her childhood. This origin story matters because it frames the rest of the book. The author is not simply recounting hardship for its own sake, but showing how early deprivation affects trust, ambition, and self-conception. The memoir suggests that class background is not just an economic condition, but a social and psychological inheritance that follows a person into adulthood. French's account of leaving home, marrying young, and trying to build a different life highlights the tension between escape and continuity. She is able to move geographically and professionally, but the effects of childhood do not disappear. That tension gives the memoir its emotional structure. Upward mobility is real, yet it does not erase the past. Instead, the book treats background as a force that shapes later choices, especially the need for belonging and the vulnerability to institutions that promise order or protection. Secondly, ghostwriting as both profession and metaphor for hidden identity. French's career as a ghostwriter is one of the book's most distinctive features because it is not merely a job detail but a structural metaphor. Ghostwriting requires producing someone else's public voice while remaining invisible, and that dynamic mirrors the author's larger experience of being overlooked, managed, or spoken for. The memoir uses her professional life to explore the distance between public image and private reality, especially in political storytelling, where image management is central. Writing for well-known conservative figures gave her access to elite spaces, but it also placed her in a system built around authorship without transparency. That makes the memoir unusually self-aware. The author has spent years shaping other people's narratives and now interrogates how narratives get made, sanitized, and sold. The book also raises a broader question about who gets to be fully known. French's own voice emerging from behind the scenes becomes a claim to authenticity, but it is not naive. She understands that every public story, including memoir, is edited, performed, and strategically framed. The result is a reflection on authorship, silence, and the labor of making other people legible. Thirdly, Christian conservatism, Trump, and the fracture of political loyalty. Another central topic is French's disillusionment with the Republican Party during the Trump era, which the memoir presents as a moral and relational rupture rather than a routine policy disagreement. She writes from inside conservative Christian culture, so her criticism carries the weight of experience rather than detached commentary. The book is interested in what happens when political identity becomes fused with religious belonging, family connection, and professional opportunity. In that environment, dissent can feel like betrayal, and loyalty can be enforced through social pressure. French's refusal to support Donald Trump becomes a turning point because it exposes how conditional some forms of community can be. The memoir shows the cost of holding a line on conscience when friends, colleagues, or spiritual allies withdraw support. At the same time, it does not treat the other side as morally pure. French draws on a caution against ideological cleansing, suggesting that the habit of dividing people into the pure and impure leads to self-deception across party lines. This gives the book its political force. It is less a partisan takedown than an argument that moral clarity must survive tribal pressure. Fourthly, abuse, institutional failure, and the work of confronting buried harm, the memoir also addresses sexual and spiritual abuse, including French's involvement in investigating misconduct connected to a Christian youth retreat. This element deepens the book beyond personal reflection because it connects private trauma to institutional patterns of denial and concealment. French's willingness to revisit painful material shows that memoir can function as both testimony and inquiry. The important issue is not only that abuse happened, but that communities structured around faith and trust can be especially prone to protecting reputations instead of victims. The book suggests that healing requires more than remembrance. It requires naming systems that allowed harm to continue. This part of the memoir is emotionally difficult, but it also clarifies the author's larger ethical position. She is not interested in maintaining a clean image for institutions she once trusted. Instead, she values truth-telling even when it complicates belonging. By pairing family trauma with broader abuse investigations, the memoir shows how repeated patterns of silencing operate across settings. The result is a serious account of how confronting hidden abuse can reopen wounds while also creating a path toward moral and psychological clarity. Lastly, Faith Under Pressure and the Refusal to Let Politics Define the Soul, Faith is not treated in the memoir as a simplistic comfort. It is presented as a sustaining but contested resource that remains after political identity has been shaken. French's story suggests that religious belief can survive disillusionment with institutions, parties, and communities, but only if it is separated from tribal loyalty. Her use of the Solzhenitsyn idea that the line between good and evil runs through every human heart reinforces this point. The memoir resists the fantasy that one side, whether political or religious, can fully purify itself. That is why the spiritual dimension of the book matters. It provides an alternative to ideological certainty. French's account of being ghosted by political friends and spiritual allies turns isolation into a test of whether conviction can exist without social approval. The book's answer is cautious but affirmative. Faith, in this framework, becomes a way to endure contradiction, face suffering honestly, and avoid the collapse of selfhood into party identity. This is one reason the memoir stands out among political memoirs. It does not end with victory over opponents, but with a more modest and durable claim about conscience, humility, and survival. In conclusion, Ghosted: An American Story will appeal most to readers interested in memoirs that combine family history, faith, politics, and institutional critique. It is especially relevant for readers who want to understand how conservative Christian culture, Trump-era polarization, and childhood trauma can intersect in one life story. The book also has value for those interested in ghostwriting as a profession, because it reveals the tension between public storytelling and private selfhood from the perspective of someone who has done both. Intellectually, it offers a useful case study in how ideology affects relationships and how communities respond when a member breaks with the group line. Practically, it encourages readers to think more carefully about conscience, loyalty, and the hidden costs of belonging. What makes it stand out in the memoir category is its unusual combination of political access and personal vulnerability. It is not just a recovery narrative or a political memoir. It is an account of how a hidden writer became visible while also challenging the systems that rewarded her silence. That dual focus gives the book its distinctive force. If you would like to support Nancy French, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.